Good morning, everybody. It's a little miserable out there today, but it's supposed to be gorgeous the rest of the week. It's the dog in the kennel on a Monday morning, October the 3rd, 2016. Mike Miller, attorney, judge from Wayne County, Newark, New York, host of my hometown, Lions, is joining me this morning, talking about his career, talking sports, talking a whole lot. Good morning, everybody. It's good to have you alongside on a Monday morning, and we trust that you enjoyed your week. It's amazing to me that it's October already. We're talking, Matt, Thanksgiving in a few weeks. Kind of scary. Without further ado, it's good to have a gentleman who I met at the ballpark at the Newark famous ballpark, Coburn Park. Bob Oman introduced me to Mike Miller. Mike is an attorney and a judge over in Wayne County out of Newark. And Mike, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, I should point out and make total awareness that Mike is a close friend of Johnny Capace. Need I say more? And he's got to be happy, Mike, with his Notre Dame win.
I would expect he is.
Over Jimmy's Syracuse Orangemen. You know, I was picking on Dino Babers, and I know he's trying, and it's new, and it's all that. We're talking about this up-tempo offense, and I made a comment on my Facebook page. I understand what the theory is behind that. But you got to have defense. You got to stop these guys running up and down the field. And, you know, SU had chances to score, and they did score 33. And I made the comment to one of my friends who's an SU fan, like Jimmy, how much money would you have bet that you scored 33 with the thought you're going to win a game? And then you lose by 17. So they've got growing pains, and I got to give Dino Babers credit. And the post-news conference, the reporters are trying to dig him a little bit about his defense, and he just kind of talks about, you know, other things. It's interesting. They got Wake Forest, I believe, coming up this week. So the SU has got some growing pains with Mr. Dino Babers. We'll see how it turns out the rest of the season. You got to score 33. You need to pull off that W in my mind. And Notre Dame, of all years, they got issues too with their program because they're not stopping many people as well. Well, let's talk about Mike Miller here, for example. Mike is a graduate of Newark High School in 1985. That's kind of young for the dog since I graduated in 63 from MA. And went to Geneseo, a phenomenal school. Western New England College School of Law, 1992. He's a lifelong Newark resident. He's had a lot of past involving in coaching baseball, also girls softball. He's involved in a debate team. He's a past teacher for marching band. You're like a well-rounded individual. You do it all.
I try.
He's a member, of course, of the Wayne County Bar Association. And, of course, he's a judge for the village of Newark and the town of Arcadia for 7 years. He was awarded in 2016 Distinguished Juror Award from the Rochester Area Center for Dispute Resolution. He's got private practice with a law office in Newark. He's a past board member, Wayne County Red Cross, and he's donor of 13 gallons of blood. Impressive. Congratulations. That is outstanding. And he's a father of three daughters, ages 14, 9, and 7. And I might add, you must have four bathrooms in your home, because how do you handle three daughters?
Well, I stay out of their bathroom, but the daughters part, might be, of all those things on my list, that might be the toughest job of all.
And I can't imagine when they get a little older when the boyfriends start knocking on the door.
Yeah.
And, of course, he's a Yankee fan, and also he's not only a Yankee fan, he's well-versed in the world of baseball. We'll get to some of that during the course of the interview. It's good to have Mike along. Mike, let's talk about your role in first off, you have a law practice, obviously. What type of law do you practice? Is it just general law, or is there specific things that you're involved in for your practice?
It's a few basic topics. I do real estate.
Okay.
I do family court, matrimonial law, and some criminal. I do less criminal now than I used to because of my position as a judge.
Right.
You're not allowed as a sitting attorney judge to appear in other justice courts within your county where there's also an attorney judge. If there's lay judges, they can go there, or I can go outside the county. So that the fact that I can't appear in front of other lay judges takes some of the jurisdictions in Wayne County out as places I can practice.
I always wanted to ask people, and especially somebody who is an attorney, your comments regarding the Supreme Court, the highest court in this land. We all know because of politics, the gentleman who was nominated by President Obama will not get his day in the Senate for a up or down vote. We know that's not going to happen. Your opinion of that decision of holding up his potential hearing, and according to the experts, who follow law like yourself. It would have been a shoo-in probably to get in. The fact that that happened, and also that we have a 8-member Supreme Court, where, as you know, better than anybody, a lot of 4-4 calls, which means it goes back to the federal court ruling. What's your opinion on those issues regarding?
Well, it's a shame.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be 9 sitting justices, and we don't have that. And it's a shame that politics has gotten in the way. Beyond that, as far as what the politics ought to be, I'll refrain from answering because we're really not allowed to answer political
sure.
questions or get political as a sitting judge. But the fact that we don't have 9 there to make some decisions on that are, cases that are obviously very important.
Yeah.
Some of them may be monumental. That's a shame.
It is. And in fairness on this point, Mike Miller's my special guest this morning on Weber. The fairness is, I guess, the Senate can block it, and they did that with McConnell, led by McConnell. And I've always been a fan of the court system, but I go up to Judge Bender's court, usually on Monday afternoons, to check out the criminal court proceedings there. I retired, I got a lot of free time. I enjoy the interaction between the attorneys and the judge, and I really kind of, I've always been fascinated by the law. I'm one of the few people, not few, I'm sure. Every Monday morning or Tuesday, I go back when Supreme Court's in session to listen to the oral arguments, which you can hear. I've always been fascinated, too, excuse me, about attorneys that stand in front of the Supreme Court. They get about 4 words in, and they're interrupted continuously by the Supreme Justices. I've always been caught up in that, and I've always been amazed how attorneys can prepare to appear in front of the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court justices, and that's their right, not to allow you to say more than 40 words without interruption of your argument. It's always fascinated me. It's just the way it is, I guess.
It is the way it is, but often that's because you've already submitted your argument in writing. Mm-hmm. And the judges have, you know, many of them have heavy calendars, there's large dockets, and they need to get through them, they need to move cases. So if you're going to sit and read to me basically what you've already submitted to me and I've read, you know, some judges are, you're wasting time, there's some questions I have on what you're going to say or what I know you're going to say based on your papers, so let me ask these questions now.
Okay. And I was a Scalia fan, and I'm sorry that he has passed away. I liked listening to him. But, well, let's talk about yourself in the judge role in the Newark area, in the Arcadia area. It would seem to me, and you can speak volumes, I'm sure, the drug academic, is that a right term to use? That is, that's hit Seneca County and many other counties. I'm assuming that Wayne County is not exempt from drug problems. Is that a majority of your cases that you rule on or that you have to entertain during your weekly or whatever it is when you, you know, set down court system?
Well, I'll say it's not necessarily drug cases per se, but a good share of them are drug-related.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of your petty larcenies are to fuel a drug habit.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking product from one store and in many cases going to Rochester with it. Where they can sell these goods to the little corner bodega stores who more than likely know they're buying hot goods, but they can get it at a cheap price. Against the person who made the theft, who needs to feed their drug habit, some easy money. And the bodegas are making more money because they're not paying what they normally would to get that product into the store, and the product is being sold at the same price. So it increases their profit margin. An example would be, usually about the beginning of the school year when the high schools are telling the kids to get these certain calculators, which are $100 to $120, we had some individuals that were boosting calculators from Walmart. I still can't figure out why people continue to steal from Walmart because there's more cameras in there than a casino.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
But there were people who tried to get the calculators from Walmart that would sell there for $120. They'd take them up to Rochester, and they had told the investigator that they were getting $40 a piece for them. So
wow. The
bodegas can sell them for $100, undercut Walmart's price, and still make a tremendous profit on their money out.
I must tell you, you mentioned Walmart. It is mind-boggling. I'm a guy that reads the police beat every night in the Finger Lakes Times, and it's scary, the petty larceny section, of the number of people that get arrested for stealing from Walmart in this area. It is mind-boggling, because I'm just like you. I don't have your education, but I've always wondered, why there? Why would you go there? Because whether it's a $1.40 item or $600 TV you're trying to haul into a back Ford pickup truck, You're not going to get out of there without getting caught. It's mind-boggling that, I'm sure you could write a book on this as well, criminals are not the most intelligent people in the world sometimes. They make stupid decisions, and like you say, why Walmart? I agree with you. I never could figure it out.
Yeah.
Pick another spot if you're going to steal, but not there, you know, because the chance of getting caught are pretty good.
Yeah. So even those, like I say, even those theft cases, a lot of them are dealing with people who have addictions. And then we have the drug cases as well, you know, the ones that are either in possession of or selling or so forth. I mean, heroin has become a real problem in all of this area. And it scares me because there's people that don't know how to use it, the ones that are using it, and we end up with overdoses. And we've had active cases in our court where the defendants have passed on because of an overdose. And, you know, I think we had 4 in the last 18 months of people that were actively had cases on our calendar that overdosed and died.
You know, every judge, and I've never been in your court, thank God, with an orange jumpsuit, but I've always wondered about the demeanor of every judge. Has a certain style. Every judge has a certain mandate in their mind, whether it's a woman or a man. Is it safe to say, without talking, I would never ask you about a specific case that would go in front of you, but what is your philosophy of being a judge? Are you the type of judge that has an easygoing demeanor relative to sentencing, relative to the case that's in front of you, or do you have a lack of patience if you see the same people coming in front of you continuously? Is there a way to answer that? I know you're never going to talk about a specific case, but what is your theory about being a judge? To be fair, objective, and to follow the law to the 100% T?
Well, everything we do is to follow the law, but
exactly.
That doesn't necessarily lock you in how you're going to dispose of things.
Exactly.
I believe that our court in Newark, more than a lot of places, will look to solve the problem. We have a lot of great agencies involved that will help people get past whatever their issue is. And most studies that we have reviewed, we find that people that get involved in the programs and successfully complete them, the recidivism rate is much lower, almost nothing, as opposed to those, you know, you slap them with a fine, you just hit them with a fine, took money out of their pocket, and they're going to come back. We have a pretrial diversion program in Wayne County. Trey Lockhart is the manager of that, does a great job. His staff does a great job. And they take people in, used to be just kids, and now he has an adult diversion program as well, where he gets people in, and it's kind of like a counseling service, and they'll put it off for any number of weeks they think is appropriate to work with them, get them into programs, maybe refer them to other programs as well, whether it be mental health programs or drug addiction programs. The defendant will sign releases so they can gather information to see how they're doing. And if we can get them through that process where they've done well and get them in the right direction, we're not going to see them back. And yeah, that doesn't mean necessarily you're not going to collect fines from these people in some cases, or if you do, it's lower fines because they've earned a reduction from a higher charge to a lower charge, maybe from a misdemeanor to a violation. But more importantly, we're saving them from coming back again and saving the community from having someone else become a victim, because these people are not going to go out and commit another crime.
Well said. Mike Miller is my special guest from Newark, New York. He's not only an attorney, but he's also a judge. How many days a week do you serve as judge?
Well, I'm on the bench every Wednesday.
Okay.
We start pretrials at 9. Sometimes we have hearings that start as early as 8. Pretrials, we go through the entire calendar between 9 and 10. Hopefully we're on the bench at 10, go until noon or 12:30 or so, sometimes longer depending on the size of our calendar. And then in the afternoons at 1:30, we have an additional village calendar. On the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month, we have trials. On the first and third, we have first appearance calendars. And then the second and fourth Wednesdays at 4 o'clock is when I do the town court calendars. We just take the village stuff out of the way, put the town stuff out, and start that. And to finish your prior question, yes, there are some people that come back that do the same thing over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it gets you get frustrated with them, and you up the ante some.
Yeah.
I liken it to raising kids. You know,
right.
The first time they do something wrong,
You
may shake their finger at them and say, don't do that again. The second time, you may go tell them to sit in the corner for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
The third time, you start grounding them and taking away the electronics. You up the punishment till you get their attention. And sometimes the same thing happens with some criminal defendants. You have people who do the same thing over and over and over.
Well, I see that at Judge Bender's court on a Monday as well, so I guess it would be a mirror. This is Weber This Week. Mike Miller is my special guest. We'll continue our discussion with Mike, get his feeling on the baseball playoffs. He's a phenom when it comes to baseball knowledge, but now we got to hear from our great sponsors to make this show possible. Cayuga Lake National Bank. Visit Bill Ryan and his team for all of your banking needs. Offices in Union Springs and Aurora, a fine sponsor of this show for over 30 years. DA Liquor on Bridge Street in Seneca Falls. Amy Padula and her team will find the right spirit for you every time. When you stop in, tell Amy the dog sent you. Steve Wadhams and Wadhams Enterprises, your local employer of choice. Proud supporter of Weber This Week and local athletics. Fill out an application at wadhams.com. The Gould Hotel welcomes you to come out and enjoy the revitalization of this historic downtown Seneca Falls landmark. Every Wednesday is Ladies' Night with special price drinks and half-priced appetizers. Learn more at thegouldhotel.com. The Omen Theater on William Street in Lyons. See what's playing this week at omentheater.com. Located off New York State Thruway Exit 41, the McGee Diner has earned their reputation as a popular family restaurant, serving country fresh home-cooked meals daily. Stop in for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and check out their menu at mcgeediner.com. Del Lago Resort and Casino will feature a luxurious 205-room hotel, several restaurants ranging from casual to fine dining, and a 2,500-capacity entertainment venue called The Vine. The casino will have 2,000 slot machines, 75 table games, and 10 poker tables. Visit www.dellagoresort.com. Seneca Metals is an award-winning company that has earned a reputation of going above and beyond to protect the environment and support their community. As an EPA inspector once said, their operation is head and shoulders above the rest. The Seneca Falls Country Club, awesome 18-hole layout, open to the public and a 12-month payment plan for members. Check out SenecaFallsCountryClub.com. And the Newark Pilots of the Perfect Game Collegiate Baseball League, a minor league team with a major league ballpark. Season ticket packages available at NewarkPilots.com. And the Wilson Press in Seneca Falls. My good pal Rich Rickey and his team can handle all of your printing and mailing needs. Visit them online at WPress.com. Rich Rickey and Wilson Press, a fine sponsor of Weber This Week. Ah, yes. You see what I'm wearing? Now, listen, before I get back to my friend Michael here to talk about his attorney work and his judgeship and get his comments on the baseball playoffs, which, by the way, the regular season has ended if you missed it. Mets against San Fran on Wednesday night in New York. Bumgarner against that long-haired kid.
Syndergaard.
There you go, Syndergaard. But I'm wearing this Bills hat because, as you all know, I've been a Bills, not a fan of theirs for, I'm 72 in a few months, so it's been about, I was 8 years old maybe. So I had 64 years of not pulling for the Bills, pulling against them every Sunday. Give them kudos. And by the way, this is Kenny's Two Pennies Haas's hat. He loaned it to me a while back. I forgot about it, Kenny, but I saw it today in my closet, so I wore it today. I'll get it back to you in the next year or so. Listen, I've never been a Bills fan. Kudos to them. They shut out the Patriots in New England. Everybody was shell-shocked, including me. But you know what? If you'd have bet $100 and said that $1,000 that New England would have been 3-1 without Tom Brady, you would have cashed in your chips. I'm sure Belichick's not happy, but, you know, I know the Bills fans are thrilled. The thing that all upsets me about the Bills is the media. I've been involved in the media for 45 years on a local level. I get it. But the media coverage of the Bills is ridiculous. Today on the Democratic Chronicle, front page, this bold signature win. We got a Category 4 hurricane getting ready to hit Haiti any minute now. Bringing 40 inches of rain, going to devastate that island, and the Democratic Chronicle, signature win. Are you serious on the front page? There's not more important issues than that. I'm sorry. That's why, folks, I'm not a Bills fan. I'm just sorry. The media turns me off. Let's talk about Ryder Cup. Jimmy and me are pumped about that. Give credit to the USA. All you want to say about Phil Mickelson, he's outspoken. He wanted to badmouth Hal Sutton. He found a way to throw him under the bus this week. He took a shot at Watson a couple of years ago for his handling of the team. You got to give him credit. They kicked ass. They won 17-11. Kudos to that. And, Jimmy, you must have been impressed by the way USA played in that Ryder Cup. They really played well. And led by their wacko Patrick Reed. I love him.
Yeah, it's you got to understand how much pressure they were under. Yep. After losing and having the task force.
Gotcha.
And a guy like Phil Mickelson, all the scrutiny and controversy surrounding him, and Ricky Fowler getting selected as a captain's pick, even though he hasn't been playing well. So for them to come through and win convincingly, it was great. And personally, I think too much goes into, the Europeans do it their way and the Americans do it their way.
I think it's
a law of averages. Neither side is going to win too many times in a row because they're both so good.
That's right. Hey, by the way, before we get back to Mike, just a reminder, upcoming guests coming up. We got some good shows scheduled coming up next week. Speaking of Del Lago, James Rafferty, the new guru for marketing for Del Lago, hired a couple of weeks ago, will be in the studio. We are hoping to bring in Jeff Babinski as well, the executive vice president, the head man, general manager. By the way, dealer training, car dealing is underway right now. Started this morning at 8 o'clock. 6-week course. They're going to have sessions at 8 to noon, 1 to 5, and 6 to 10. So hopefully you're in that. I'm sure you're probably learning how to deal cards right now. You're not watching my show. That's underway. Del Lago coming in next week on the 10th. On the 17th, Katie McIntyre and Menzo Case from the Generations Bank. They got a new look. They've made renovations. They got new technological advances down there. They got weird machines you push buttons on. I even tried it. I'm an old dog, and I understood how to get the money out. I know how to put the money in, too. And that'll be on the 10th and on the 24th of October. This young man played guitar and sang some songs at my granddaughter Izzy's graduation party out of Geneva a couple months ago. I was so enthralled by the way he sang and the way he performed the guitar. His name is Nate Michaels. He's from Clyde, New York. That's old, good old Clyde, New York. He'll be here with his guitar singing a couple of songs for us. His specialty is acoustic country and rock. Nate Michaels from Clyde, New York, will be on the Weber Show on the 24th. The 31st and the 7th, I won't be here. I'll be out of town both days. I'm sure Jimmy will crank up something to appease you while I'm gone. Well, Mike, let's talk about baseball playoffs. I know you are a phenomenal brain trust when it comes to baseball. How do you see it unveiling? How do you see it rolling out?
Well, the Cubs are the sexy pick because they're just that good. The only team that won over 100 games, and they've got a lack of weaknesses. Mm-hmm. They've got offense, they've got starting pitching, they've got middle relief, and they've got Chapman, who came from the Yankees this year. In a deal that had to be made, I was happy that deal was made among the others. So the Cubs are the odds on, and the American League, that's going to be interesting. The Indians are good, but they have some injuries in the starting staff. Texas looks strong. Nobody talks about Texas.
I know. It's weird.
Everybody's talking about the American League East, who, again, that division showed to be better than what everybody thought it was going to be. They thought one team only because they won the division, but now they've got three teams going in.
Mm-hmm.
So the American League is going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think there's going to be a lot of good matchups. And the other interesting thing is the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
They've won the last three even-numbered year World Series. They're the wild card team in. They got in yesterday with a big win over the Dodgers. They're the ones going against the Mets, and they've got Bumgarner starting, and we saw what he did 2 years ago in the playoffs of World Series. So it's a tough matchup for the Mets, and the Mets, for them to get there, is amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing.
All those young guns they've got, the only one that's still standing is Syndergaard. Even he has a bone spur that's going to be dealt with during the winter. So he's gonna start, and should they get past that, they will start their playoff series with 42-year-old Bartolo Colon on the mound.
It's amazing.
Who my girlfriend is amazed that he's actually younger than me because he doesn't look it. It's either a tribute to me or a shot at him or both. I'm not sure.
It's amazing. And before we let you go, a lot of Yankee fans check out the show, I am sure. I'd like you to give me your opinion. You gave it to me off air regarding the Yankee progression and what you expect the next couple of years.
Love what they did. I was calling for those trades to be made as early as May, but I knew they couldn't do them then. My hope was that Beltran stayed healthy enough to be able to trade him at some point. They got a nice young A-ball arm for him, a kid by the name of Tate. Mm-hmm. The talent they got back for Chapman and Miller was fantastic. Now they went from having a middle-of-the-road farm system to one of the top because they have so many top 100 players prospects in their system. So next year is going to be a little bit more of a changeover. Tex is gone. We'll see how Bird does coming back with that shoulder. There's going to be growing pains next year. So Yankee fans should understand that and accept that because Sanchez is going to have to adjust to the adjustments. He's not going to hit 80 home runs next year like he did at this pace this year. But he'll continue to hit. But you got to remember, he's also a catcher. So at points, he's going to wear down a little bit because he's catching. You're taking the foul tips. You get beat up back there. But he's going to be a solid player. He's going to be somebody great to watch for a long time. He's going to be the new face of the Yankees as they move forward. And once you get past some of these other contracts, CC comes off next year. There's nothing in free agency that anybody wants to get into this year. The crop is not that deep. 2018 is a little different. So some growing pains next year, some guys getting some time under their belt, but I'm very excited about 2018. I think it's going to be a year for them to start a new dynasty.
And a kid who I had a chance to see in Syracuse named Bryce Harper several years ago when he was down there for a few games. You made the comment that he may unload the Wynn Casino and the Brinks trucks, and he may sign a deal that we've never seen before.
It's rare that you have somebody get the 6 years of Major League service necessary to be a free agent at his age. So with his talent and at that age, he could end up being the first one to sign a contract that has a total value of $500
million. Wow. Pretty amazing.
I mean, you've got pitchers now, Clayton Kershaw and David Price, that are averaging $30 million a year, and they're on the field for 20% of their team's games.
Right.
Yeah. So if you got a guy that's out there every day that can run, play defense, throw, and hit like nobody's business, is $50 million year average annual value really that much if you go a 10-year deal? Is that out of line? Perhaps not. He's a talent that doesn't come along, but you know, once in a generation. And he's also grown up a little bit from his previous antics when he was a little bit younger. So that is, he's a guy that can make a lot of money. He's going to make a lot of money. Just the question is he going to be the first $500 million man?
Well, good. Well, Mike, thanks for coming over from Newark today to join us on the show. We appreciate you taking time out.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
All right. Mike Miller, ladies and gentlemen, thank him for spending time with us. And again, if you would like to come on the Weber Show, it's pretty easy. Just let us know. Get a hold of Jim Santacropi, or you can email me. And if you see me on the street, tell me what you want to talk about. We'll set up a date for you. We're pretty much booked right now until about the second or third week of November. So if you'd like to contact me, we still have a few open dates before year end. We'd love to have you on the Weber Show. It's 9:30 to 10 a.m. on a good old Monday morning, so unless we have a holiday. Well, speaking for Mike Miller and Jim Santacropi, this is the dog bidding you farewell. It's going to be beautiful this week. Folks, enjoy the weather. Get out with your golf clubs. Take care.